Now we're privileged to have our dear brother Jim with us. He's going to serve us with the theme topic, Revelation 10:7, and the title he's chosen for this lesson is The Voice of the Seventh Angel. The Voice of the Seventh Angel. And I'm very interested to find out who that could be. Lord bless your service.
As if you already didn't know. Well, dear brethren, what a joy it's been thus far in our convention experience, and certainly we really appreciated the lessons of yesterday, and that's just really hard to follow. But we trust by the Lord's grace the Lord is up to the task. We just hope that His vessel will be, and that's myself. So, dear brethren, love from your brethren in Muhammad again. Brother Ed brought that, and they will all want to be remembered. The opening hymn. Did you look at the title, Father, Help Us? And that's certainly what we're always desirous of. We need help, and lots of it. He says, Thy presence, gracious Lord, afford. Prepare us to receive Thy word. We need our hearts to be prepared, don't we, to receive the word from the Lord. Now let Thy voice engage our ear. That's what we want. We want to have these hearing ears, do we not? Lord, speak and let Thy servant hear. Distracting thoughts and cares remove and fix our hearts and hopes above. With heavenly truth may we be fed and satisfied with living bread. Boy, we're sure satisfied with living bread, are we not? And that's what we want more of. To us the sacred word apply, and may it give new energy. Brother Craig just gave us an energy drink. I'm sure that will give us energy, but we want the energy that comes from above, don't we? That's what we're really looking for. Oh, may we in Thy faith and fear be profited by what we hear. Father, in us Thyself reveal. Help us to learn and do Thy will, Thy heavenly grace in us display, and guide us to the realms of day. Can't say anything more than that, but amen to that. We're very desirous of that. Well, we've been privileged to study into the theme text, and we're thankful for the text that it's helped us to come to a deeper appreciation of God's plans and purposes and the methods which He uses to guide us into these realms of heavenly truth. And the scripture, as you see it there, it says, But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now, I like the Weymouth. We're going to read it in Weymouth. And after we read it, well, you'd say, well, that's pretty plain. No use even needing a discourse on it, because it's going to be so plain, we think. And reading from the 1912 Weymouth, There shall be no further delay, but in the days when the seventh angel blows his trumpet, when he begins to do so, then the secret purposes of God are realized, in accordance with the good news which he gave to his servants the prophets. I like that. Just pretty plain, isn't it? So, I think you can glean all kinds of thoughts from this. Well, as we approach a subject, it's been our custom to try to ask myself questions. Well, what's our Heavenly Father trying to direct in and through this subject? So some of the questions that I ask myself is this. Who are some of the servants the prophets mentioned? Kind of taking the latter part of that scripture and putting the question up first, because I thought it might be important to know from these Old Testament writings and the servants the prophets, who were they? Who were some of them? Are we able to determine the time setting? Who is the seventh angel? What is the voice? what is the sound coming from the seventh angel's voice? What happens when the angel begins to sound? What is the definition of the word mystery as used in our theme text, Revelation 10:7? What is the mystery of God? Who only, when he begins to sound, will understand? What is it that should be finished? And how complete is the finished mystery to be? So, with those questions before us, hopefully we'll be able to come to some answer in this. Well, who are some of the prophets and what is the time setting? So, kind of looking at this in a composite way. Well, first scripture that came to our mind or collection was in Daniel. Daniel 12. One will begin 1 through 4. And at that time shall Michael. Well, who's Michael? Well, we look in the Greek or the Hebrew, it says, who as God? Michael, who as God? The one representing God, Christ Jesus, is the captain of our salvation. And that reminds us of Hebrews 2:12 or 2:10. When he shall stand up, clothed with divine power. When Michael returns and stands up, he'll be clothed with the divine nature, and to take him to himself his great power and to reign. He is the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Brother Russell makes an interesting comment here, which we appreciated in reprint 5050. He says, he will stand up for Israel. He'll stand up for the church, which is his body. And he will stand up for all who are in harmony with God and all who will be in harmony with God. All who are when he returns and all who will become, who will come into. Right? He stands up for all, does he not? And there shall be a time of trouble such as there never was a nation. Even to that same time, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many that are of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be greatly increased. And seal the book. So here's one of these servants, the prophets, who was reporting holy men of old wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But he says, seal the book. So state matters, this is kind of what he was designed, this was designed to do, but that they cannot be understood before the proper time. State things in a manner until it's not going to be understood. And Daniel didn't understand it, did he? He wept. Continuing, Weymouth says, hide the things, and seal the book till the time of the end. So, kind of in our mind, it puts us forward to a period from Daniel's perspective into the future. And that's what we want to look for. Now we skip down to verse 8, and we'll read Daniel 8 through 13. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abominations that make it desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So here we're given a clue that there is time measurements that's going to be placed in these prophecies that will lead us to something. But then you have to love verse 12 or verse 12 when it says, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days." The 1,335 days. We think of, oh, the blessedness to those. Those who are will be greatly blessed who come to that period of time. And we're going to find out what these blessings may be. "But go thy way till the end, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days, or tell the harvest or end of the age." Brother Russell inserts that little note. Become. That's from 6 volume 666. Who is another one of these prophets, servants of the prophets? Well, we couldn't help but think of Ezekiel. Lots of things that Ezekiel has to say. And we'll begin with chapter 2, verse 8. And he says, "But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee." And verse 9 and 10, he says, "And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mournings and woe." And then in Ezekiel 3, 1 through 3, we'll continue. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness." Now, we have similar language to that in Revelation. Now, we're going to jump ahead to look at Revelation 10, 8 through 11, and see how this harmonizes with what the servant, the prophet, said. Beginning with verse 8. "And the voice that I heard out of the heaven is again speaking with me, and saying, Go take the little scroll that is open." Now, you noticed it was closed before. Now, it says, "It is open in the hand of the messenger who hath been standing upon the sea and upon the land. And I went away unto the messenger, saying to him, Give me the little scroll. And he said to me, Take and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but thy mouth shall be sweet as honey. And I took the little scroll out of the hand of the messenger, and I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey, sweet. And when I did eat it, my belly was made bitter. And he said unto me, It behooveth thee again to prophesy about peoples and nations and tongues and kings, many kings." So here we're having the kind of the context of what may, we don't know what's in that little book yet, do we? But it needs to be spoken to many. Well, who is the voice out of the heaven speaking to me? We couldn't help but think of the Revelation account in chapter 5. And we'll read 5, 1 through 5. And it says, "I saw upon the right hand of him who was sitting upon the throne a scroll, written within, on the back, sealed with seven seals." Remember how we had the prophet earlier, written within, without? Now here we're having the same language, aren't we? "And I saw a strong messenger crying with a great voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll to behold? And no one was able, and to loose the seals thereof. And no one was able in the heaven, nor upon the earth, nor under the earth, to open the scroll, nor to behold it. And I was weeping much, because no one was found worthy to open and to read the scroll, nor to behold it. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, lo, overcome did the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, to open the scroll and to loose the seven seals." So this little scroll, this book written within and out, without, would be open. One would be found who was worthy. Who is that? Who do you think that would be? Might be our Lord. But okay. Verse 12 in chapter 5. He saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Now in this particular discussion, he says, in the days the voice of the seventh angel. Why seven? Well, I think in our studies we all realize and have learned that seven is a perfect or complete number, is it not? And when we look at the word angel in the Greek, it means to bring tidings, a messenger, especially an angel, by implication, a pastor. Angel, messenger. So this is an angel, could be a pastor. You listen to that? Okay. A messenger. So the seventh messenger, seventh angel. Well, if there are seven, well, how do we know that there are seven? Well, let's go a little earlier in Revelation, Revelation 2, and then beginning with verse 1. It says, "Unto the angel, messenger, of the church of Ephesus, that which is desirable, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And he said unto the angel," so here it is, the first one. We have the one in the messenger to the church of Ephesus. Now, it would take a study in itself to go through each one of these messengers and see what their message is. But we're interested in the seventh, aren't we? But notwithstanding, that's just number one messenger. Well, Revelation 2:8. "And unto the angel," or messenger, "of the church of Smyrna," couldn't even read my own writing, "that which is bitter." So there's another angel. What about 2:12? "And unto the angel of the church in Pergamos write." And then in 18, "And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write." "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis," in Revelation 3:1, write. And then in verse 7 of chapter 3 of Revelation, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write." All of these were asked to hear up, listen up, and deliver a message. A message is delivered by a messenger. Okay. So here you have six messengers already. And then you come to Revelation 3:14. "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea," right. Laodicea means a tried or judged people. A tried or judged people. "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God," the Lord Himself, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou would be cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." We wanted to read this particular message from this messenger because it's a little different, has a little different connotation from the first six. Now, in our studies, as you know, as you go through the first six messengers, what is their message? Word of comfort to those who are being faithful. And a word of warning to those who are not. Now, when it gets to the seventh message, there's nothing to commend of this church of Laodicea. And we couldn't help but think of this scripture as it talks about, "I would have healed Babylon. I would have healed this portion of this nominal church arrangement if you'd have just heeded to the first six messengers." but they would not. The Brother Russell says that this is the last stage of the great nominal gospel church, and he uses of wheat and tares. You'll find that in D41, fourth volume, 41. And in 5992, he says the nominal church of today, not our day, his day, the nominal church of his day, the day in which the angel is sounding. What does nominal mean? Well, it's come to mean in name only. In name only. Started out good, Ephesus, desirable. But the longer it went, the worse it became. And it wasn't naming the name of Christ in truth and honesty, but naming the name of Christ falsely, nominal, in name only. So this is not something that our Lord and our Heavenly Father appreciates. Now, this message is sent particularly to those who profess Christ's name but deny the truth which he himself here presents. 5993, paragraph 5. And here's the thought that Brother Russell mentioned. To every stage of the church, and we've mentioned this earlier, except the last, the Master has some word of commendation. Some word of commendation. But in this Laodicean stage, he finds nothing. He finds nothing to commend. And the scripture that kind of triggered my mind is going back to Jeremiah 51, verse 8. It says, Babylon is suddenly fallen. And it reminds us of Revelation 18:2. So these kind of coordinate together. Jeremiah 51:9. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Her judgment reaches unto heaven. That's how high it goes. It can't go any higher than that. Her judgment reaches unto heaven. Well, we have Revelation 18:4. At this very time, we hear a message, come out of her, my people. Come out of that nominal arrangement. Why? Because God has remembered her iniquities. They go all the way up to heaven. So you need to flee. You need to get out of there. Okay. If you are true, if you are really naming the name of Christ in earnest and honesty and are spirit begotten, you better get out. You hear that message. Well, who is this seventh angel or messenger? Well, we know there are all kinds of scriptures that allude to this particular messenger or angel, and I think we can, after we read a few of these, I think the conclusion will be probably 100% who this messenger or angel is. Now, we had read Daniel 1 through 12, 1 through 4. Now we're going to pick it back up at verses 5, 6, and 7. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the other one on one side of the bank of the river, and the other side of the bank of the river. And one said to, now, a man clothed with linen, a man clothed with linen, who was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, and he held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Who told you about chronology? Who directed our minds when we see these prophecies of the 1260 days and how to come to these conclusions and end of these things? Who told us about the 1290 days? Who told us about, oh, blessed is he that cometh to that 1335 days? I can see those wheels turning you've already come to a conclusion. But we're going to continue. I'm not satisfied yet. Now, next hour, we have a brother that's going to really, I think, talk about this next one. Matthew 24. Kind of it, either that or the title of the next discourse. Courses, I don't understand it. We'll read verses 45, 46, and 47 of Matthew 24. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Now, I think you know me long enough, but if you're around me and you say, well, you know, it was that wise and faithful servant. Time out. Time out. You get tired of me saying, well, brother, sister, no, he was faithful first, then made wise. So, some things I'm a real stickler on. That's one of them. He was faithful first, then made wise. But hopefully it's in a good way that we say that. Whom the Lord hath made ruler, I take not this honor into myself. He didn't take the honor into himself. It was the Lord that made him ruler over his household to serve them a bologna sandwich, as Brother Zana would say one time. No, meat in due season. Meat in due season. Storehouse, he would bring things new and old. New and old out of that storehouse. Well, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. When he comes, it says, when he arrives, when he cometh, the scripture says. But when he's here, when he arrives, he says, he's going to see one that's up about doing these very things. Verily I say unto you, then he, the one who arrives, shall make him, the messenger, ruler over all his goods. It's goods there. Of everything that he possesses as far as this spiritual message that needs to be delivered. That's his whole possessions. The whole of it. Not part of it. All. The whole of it. Okay. Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3. And I will stand upon my watch. Now, you know, if you're in the service, I've never been, but I know that if you're on a watch, you're a sentry. You're acting, you're kind of looking out. Danger. Okay? You're a sentry. And set me upon a tower. You're not on the ground. You're up high. You're up high looking around, watching for enemies. And will watch to see what he will say to me. And when I shall answer, when I am reproved, well, Brother Russell, I thought, made a nice, interesting thought there. Well, the one who is the sentry isn't reproved by the Lord. He's reproved by unbelievers. You know? Speak the truth to anyone who doesn't believe it. And you'll find yourself not in a very good position in their mind. They reprove you. So that's the sense of which I believe Brother Russell's... Spilled beans today. Our servant. Okay. Verily I say, I will make him ruler over all. And then he says, reproved by the unbelievers. And then verse 2 and 3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Huh? Write the vision. Any? Look behind me. Any? Anything behind me there? Okay. Tables. Brother Russell's charts. Charts that he may run that readeth it. Well, you're reading that. If you understand that, and have appreciation for it, I think you're running. I think you're running. Running for something. Not running from something, maybe the old guy, but you're running for something precious here. For the vision is yet for appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Couldn't speak all down through a certain point of time until it was time for things to be opened. And then it would speak. So it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. It is a vision, see, for the vision. This is God's plan of the ages. Brother Russell, tell me. Jeez. All right, here we go. I like this also in Young's translation of 1898. It says, "Hold on my charge, I stand, and I station myself on a bulwark, and I watch to see what he doth speak against me, and what I do reply in my reproof. And Jehovah answered me and said, write a vision and explain it on tables." And explain it on tables. "That he may run who is reading it. For the vision is for a season, and it breatheth for the end, and doth not lie. If it tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come, and it is not late." Well, times and seasons are not in our hands. They're in our Heavenly Father's hands. So he has a time and season for everything. I'd like to go now to Isaiah 21. We'll read 5 and 6. Isaiah 21, 5 and 6. "Prepare the table." This is a spread. Prepare the table. What do you put on tables when you're getting down ready to eat? Food. Prepare this spread, this meal. "Watch in the watchtower." Again, here's another reference to someone being a sentry. "Eat, drink, arise, and ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth." So there's another set of scriptures that point to someone who would be watching and would be able to declare what he would see. Isaiah 52, 6, 7 and 8. Isaiah 52, 6, 7 and 8. "Therefore, my people shall know my name." My people shall know my name. "Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, and bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." When our Lord returned, he returned as bridegroom, king, and reaper. Verse 8, "Thy watchmen then shall lift up the voice. With the voice together they shall sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion." We'll see the Lord's return. Those who are watching will be up. They'll come and see that the presence of the Lord has come. That's what appeals to my mind there. Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed," or ordained. That's what that means there. "To ordain me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening up of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." We think of early on in a particular point of time at the second presence of our Lord, early in the harvest. There were many who were mourning, who were bound in this nominal arrangement. And they said, "Buck up, hear the voice, come out of her my people. I'm going to give you beauty. You've got ashes. Here, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time if you just listen up and come out. Well, dear brethren, here is, can there be any doubt who the seventh and last messenger to the nominal church of Laodicea, pronouncing those judgments, but also the messenger of those who mourned in Zion. He was that messenger, and that is who? And who is that? That's right. Brother Russell. Thank you. Spilled the bean 14 times, but it's okay. You already knew it anyway. So now let's go back to our scripture again, and I'm going to read it again from Weymouth. There shall be no further delay, but in the days when the seventh angel blows his trumpet, when he begins to do so, then the secret purposes of God are realized. So, what is the voice? If you look up the Greek there for voice, it's carries the thought or an idea of disclosure, it says. The voice is something that's going to, it's a tone, a disclosure, an address. So, that kind of gives us that thought. So, what is the sound coming from the seventh angel's voice? If you look that up in Greek, 45:36, it says to trumpet. Blow the horn. You know, blow that horn. It's a trumpet. Okay? That is, sound a blast. To sound the trumpet. Well, brethren, have we heard a trumpet blowing? You know, if you blow a trumpet in the Calvary early on, I learned these from John Wayne movies. If you blow that trumpet, yeah, that's ready to charge. You go. You're ready for action. Blow the trumpet. So, we're ready. We're ready to hear that trumpet, ready for action. We want to be up, about, and doing whatever the blast of that trumpet tells us to do. Well, what happens when the angel begins to sound? Well, Scripture explains itself. He says that the mystery of God will be finished. When you look at the word mystery, it's many in the world think of mystery as it's a mystery. Can't understand it. But here, scripturally, this mystery means secret. The secret is ready to be finished. Now, what is the mystery of God? And who only, when it begins to sound, will understand? Psalms 107, 42 and 43. The righteous shall see it and rejoice. And all iniquity shall stop their mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So it's the righteous. They shall see it. Both God's plan and His church are called what? Mystery. God's plan of the ages. How mysterious it is. We walk by almost by sight, but until you go talk to somebody about this plan of the ages, and then they can't understand it. It's a mystery to them. But it's an open book to us because the seals, the seal that had bound up this book, sprung open. Both God's plan and His church are called a mystery. Neither is comprehended by the world. Colossians 1, 23 and 24. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, that fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for His body's sake, which is the church. What's it speaking of? Speaking of some kind of an offering, isn't it? Filling up that which was left behind of the affliction of Christ. Sounds like a sin offering to me. And in Colossians 1:25 through 27, continuing, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest. Now was the time when these seals were opened, to be made manifest unto who? His saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Dear brethren, aren't we glad that we have seen these particular scriptures and have heard what and know what the mysteries of God are, the secrets? If we know of those secrets, that means God has revealed them to you and to me. We don't come by it on our own. We needed some voice to tell us about it. No scriptures of private interpretation, but I learned these things from the one who was this messenger. And I'm happy about it. Hope you are too. John 6:44 and 45. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. We're taught of God through this method. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Taught of God, that means by instruction, communicated by teaching. And this is the thought carried in the Greek. It says that is that this is the true source of all knowledge. Now, couldn't help but, as I saw this, my mind flashed back to an example of this. Now, you remember Jesus' first advent, disciples were there. Question was asked, well, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? Well, the answer is, well, you know, we're hearing around, this is some think you're John the Baptist or Elias or someone else. Well, he says, that's okay, but who do you? Who do you think that I am? Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Good answer. And what did our Lord say? Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. So this was some spiritual eyesight, even before Spirit Brigettel, recognizing who was the one sent of God. Sent of God. Well, what is the hope of glory? 1 John 3:1 through 3, it kind of fills us in. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifying himself. What is this hope of glory? Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's glory, honor, immortality, being like our Lord, being an active agent in raising the world of mankind. What a wonderful hope this is. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, in Ephesus 3 through 5, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles by the prophets of the Spirit. The prophets by the Spirit. And going down to verse 9, through 11, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in Christ, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church or through the church, then made manifest the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brother Russell puts a little side note. Well, what is the eternal purposes? Well, it's God's plan for all ages. Not for this age, but for all ages. We like that thought. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and even so them also which slept in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the presence of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. What a wonderful thought that is. See, things that are revealed, these truths to us. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel or chief angel, and with the trump of God. There again is that trump. And the dead of Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're comforted by these words. And again, the scripture uses the trump of God. And Brother Russell says, this is the seventh trumpet, the last trump covering the entire millennial age. It's a jubilee trump. So here, we understand about the jubilees. Where did you learn about the jubilees, Brother Harry? Thank you very much. He's that voice speaking to us. I learned it from that angel. You did too. The world of mankind, and especially Israel first, they're going to have a voice speak to them. Learned about that yesterday. Who the gates are going to be. They'll have a voice. We have a voice speaking to us. Now, Brother Russell says, pause, shout, and trumpet correspond in every way with those used by John in Revelation 11:15. And the same event in Daniel's prophecy of 12:1, which we've already read, is called the standing up of the Archangel Michael. Revelation 11:15 through 17. And the seventh messenger did sound, and there came voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world did become those of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign to the ages of the ages. I think this is from Young's. And the 24 elders who before God are sitting upon their thrones did fall upon their faces and did bow, saying, we give thanks to thee, O Lord God, the Almighty, who art and who was and who art coming, because thou hast taken thy great power and didst reign. Is our Lord reigning over the kingdoms of this world, Christendom? Yeah, they went down. They're down. They're gone. How complete has the message or meet in due season been? Couldn't help but think of Ezekiel 9:11. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Now, if you look at the previous 10 verses, you'll see it talks about the man clothed in linen. And there would be six men with slaughter weapons in their hands. And they would go through the city and slay every man, woman, and child utterly, spare no one. We know that is that of Christendom, gone. They were slain utterly. Slain utterly. And the 11th verse then says, I have done as thou hast commanded. Now, appreciated this thought. We got a little help from some of our brethren. It gave us an insight. In Brother Russell's day, he would have letters come to him and saying, well, Brother Russell, you know, you're saying this and here in the Tower articles, but it doesn't seem to harmonize with what you said over here in the volumes. Now, one of those references that have been noted is from 5347. Now, this is in reference to, I have done as thou hast commanded. I want you. This is the point we're trying to broaden out on. Some have said, Brother Russell wrote thus and so in the studies in the scriptures. But we have a later letter which intimates that he has changed his mind. We wish the dear friends to feel assured that if our judgment changes respecting any important truths, we will put the change before all the Watchtower readers as speedily as possible. Until you see the changes mentioned in the Watchtower, give no credit to them. Esteem the statements of the studies in the Scriptures just as though they were written yesterday and direct to yourself. Volumes are what? Are textbooks. That's really the foundation of where we learned all these things. Now, the Tower articles, a lot of times, you might find some seemingly discrepancies because it's based on who the messenger may be talking to at the time. But those volumes, they're talking to you, talking to me, talking to those who are in the classroom, those who are in the holy. That's who he's talking to, really. Another reference, 5872. And this was pertaining, Brother Russell had a question on the ransom and the sin offering. And he says, notwithstanding all that we have written on the subjects of the ransom and the sin offering in the studies, in the scriptures, in the Watchtower, and in the Tabernacle Shadows, it would appear that some of our dear readers are not yet clear in respect of these matters. Some even confuse themselves and others by hinting that Brother Russell has changed his views, or that the studies in the scriptures contradict the Watchtower. These are harmful mistakes. Should our views change, we will state the change in no uncertain terms. We therefore make a renewed effort to make plain what we believe to be the proper interpretation of these subjects. And so he replied to those who were questioning the understanding of the ransom and the sin offering and so forth. Now, when we think of that, we have an example of this very promise that if I change my mind on certain things, you're going to know about it. You're going to know about it. Thus, we have an example of that. We have Brother Russell's expectations and things that have to deal with the completion of the church being associated and tied in with the destruction of Babylon Christendom. Was he confused in his expectation on that point? Well, yes, he was. Did he leave us in confusion? And I say no. Many are still confused on it because it's how readest thou? It always comes down to how readest thou on these things. So I think our dear pastor fulfilled this promise of writing the 1916 forwards for us to help clear our minds from the distracting voice that we had heard before. In my mind, cleared it right up. Well, how complete is the finished mystery to be? Because we're getting ready to finish up here. Isaiah 40:1-5. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord hand double for all her sins. We learned all about that too, didn't we? Did that bring a comfort to you, to me, about Israel's sin and how that they received at the hand of the Lord her double? The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Now this is not literal, this is symbolic language here, brethren. We're not going to have this flat earth theory here. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it, of it. Yes, dear brethren, all flesh eventually, in the day of their visitation, will see it together too. And Joel, as Joel 2:28 says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall see dreams, your young men shall see visions. Some of the scriptures that were brought out yesterday, Isaiah 11:9, and reprint 57:60 is very good on some of these things. Isaiah 11:9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. It's happening now. There is some hurt going on, but there won't be any hurt later on. When thy judgments are in the earth, Brother Ed really brought to our attention a wonderful understanding. Isaiah 28:17-18, judgment will be delayed to the lion and righteousness to the plummet. Their covenant with death shall be disannulled. When will that happen? Be the editorial face of the kingdom. The truth of the scriptures is now made plain to us, will be made plain to them. Brother Russell talked about a spiritual police force will have mankind under absolute control. Absolute control. Mankind will then speedily learn. Are they learning things now? Yes, but they're not under this absolute control to that sense. Well, dear brethren, we're very thankful that our returned Lord is reigning in righteousness, and that this reign will fully turn to the reign of righteousness when the mediatorial face of the kingdom, when His Spirit shall be poured out upon all flesh. We hope that the Lord will add His blessing to it.